And God's grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, through our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. This morning, we're going to look at Psalm 8. You heard it just read. I'm going to ask you a favor. I'm going to ask you to grab one of those pew Bibles that you have, the red ones in front of you. Open that up to Psalm 8. It's page 530. Just want you to have that open as we're going to go through here. We're going to use that eventually, but you can kind of follow along as we look at that psalm. It's an amazing psalm. We know the psalms are songs and prayers kind of at the same time. And Psalm 8 is a beautiful one. The second song we sang was really taking the words from Psalm 8 and being able to look at that. I just got back from family vacation. We were up in Oregon, northern Oregon coast. My parents have a home right on the ocean. Very, very beautiful. We took our kids clamming and fishing and all kinds of fun stuff going on up there. One of my favorite things, though, is living here in the Bay Area at night, if you go outside, it's tough to see any stars because there's so much light that's going on. And where they live, there's no light. And the room that my wife and I stay in, they call it their sunroom, has got these big old huge windows. And at night, once you turn the lights off, you can literally be laying in bed and look out the window and just look up at millions and millions of stars. And it's amazing because when you're looking up at all those stars, kind of layer past layer past layer of all these stars, you realize, man, God is big. God is really big. And I'm small in the midst of that. It was funny because thinking through that of the numbers of stars and how big the universe is and all that, a couple days after that first night when we were there looking at the stars, some of our friends that they were there visiting us, we were climbing up this giant sand dune. It was like 300-foot sand dune right on the coast. And, you know, climbing up and sliding down, climbing up and sliding down. We get to the top, and one of our friends, their smallest boy, he's 5 years old, he goes, "Hey, Dad, I wonder how many sand grains are in this thing." And the reason that clicked in my brain when he said that was that scientists believe that there are more stars in the universe than there are grains of sand on the entire earth. If you just let that sink in for a moment, of how big our God is, that in the bigness of God we see his majesty. In big things you see the majesty of God. You also see God's majesty in little things. That the God who created this universe, the God who says there are a billion stars in our galaxy, and there are a billion galaxies in the universe, that blows your mind. In those big things, we see the majesty of God, but also in little things, we see the majesty of God. That this huge God that made this amazing creation, the universe that is so big, that he even hears the prayers of one little man or one little woman or one little child in one little car driving down one little road on this one little planet. That in the big things we see the majesty of God, but also in little things we see the majesty of God. Big things. The diameter of the diameter of the sun is 109 times that of the earth, which doesn't sound that much. But you can fit 1.3 million Earths inside of the size of the sun. Light travels around the Earth 7.5 times around the Earth in 1 second. Yet for light to get to the sun to here, it takes over 8 minutes. In big things, we see the majesty of God, but also in little things, we see the majesty of God. Before I became a pastor, I was a science teacher. I took a tropical ecology course, a graduate course in Costa Rica. It was a fun course. They got to tramp around in the forest. And one of the cool things is you're looking at all these big things. There's howler monkeys that are kind of making all kinds of noise over the top. You see all these trees, different kinds of trees you're looking at. Yet one of the coolest things I saw were some of the tiniest things. That we're walking through the forest, and all of a sudden you get down, and you're looking down, and you realize there are these ants that are going everywhere. These were leafcutter ants. So these ants that go and they will cut portions of leaves out, and they're carrying these things. And the leaf weighs 10, 20 times the amount of the ant, yet it's carrying this leaf. And I'm thinking, what are they carrying this leaf for? Well, they carry these leaves because they're farmers. And they carry these leaves and they take them in and they grow a fungus literally on this leaf, and that's what they feed off of. So literally, these are like little farmers that are walking around. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh. In big things we see the majesty of God, but also in these little things we see God's majesty. And Psalm 8 kind of begins that way. If you look in your Bible there on 530, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name. The psalm begins with this awe-inspired majesty of God who created the heavens and the earth. That God, you are big, you're majestic, you're amazing. And the verses that follow, they kind of alternate between the majesty of God seen in big things and in little things, kind of from high to lower, from great to small. You kind of get this back and forth. The majesty of God is big, but we also see it in little things. This psalm of creation really helps us focus in. God, you are majestic, and we see that in those big and those little things. But oftentimes in our day and age, oftentimes in our lives that are busy with lots of distractions, we can miss the majesty of God. It passes us by. We don't recognize it. We don't notice it. The psalm says that God establishes his strength out of the mouth of babes and infants. Yet it's easy for us to overlook children. In church, maybe our tendency sometimes to put them aside. In society, we just have too many foster kids and orphans. In the Bay Area, we have over 2,000 foster kids. Heard a heart-wrenching stat a while back. 80% of foster children will be dead or in jail by the time they're 20. It's like, oh my gosh. In schools, we have too many overcrowded classrooms. In families, we have abuse or neglect of children. We marginalize them. In our society, we look at children pragmatically. What will they do for us? The other day, I read in the paper that there are now more pets in the city of San Francisco than children. We think that they have no benefit or that it's foolish to have them. They're loud, they're weak, they're expensive, they take a lot of work. They're an obstacle to my independence and what I want to do. And in those little things, we miss the majesty of God. In big things and little things, we can miss his majesty. The psalmist says that we have the moon and the stars, which God set in place. It's easy for us to worship the creation, but not the creator. To ignore the fingers that formed all of that. That we rationalize the existence of this place where we live and the universe where we exist. We're so busy that we never walk out at night and to look up and go, wow. We're busy with streetlights and neon lights and stage lights, lights from our computer, lights from our tablet, lights from my iPhone. These are the lights that we're focused on. Yet we have these heavenly lights that the Lord declares his majesty, and he is big. And in big things and little things, we miss the majesty of God. God has crowned us with glory, the psalm says. He's literally crowned us with glory and given us dominion, stewardship over his creation. That we're stewards of his property, of what he's given here. It's a great responsibility. It's a great privilege that we have, that he calls us that. Yet it's easy for us to abuse the big things and the little things that God has given us to steward. We have too many toys and not enough time for other people. Too much pollution, not enough care for his creation. Too much greed, not enough giving. Too much girth, not enough get up and go. He's given us dominion to take care of the creatures of this place. Yet we've caused species of animals, birds, to go extinct. We've coated animals in oil. In society, we've done big things like murder and war and thievery and white-collar crime. And we've done little things like little lies and little gossip and disguise our hidden little desires that we have. We harbor secret fantasies. We may have a really brutal temper that a lot of people may not know about, except for those in our family. Sometimes we treat others, we dehumanize them, and we manipulate them for what we want to get out of the relationship. God gives us dominion and stewardship over all the earth, but we see that as I'm big and everyone else is little. I'm the center of the universe, and people here are to serve me. And so in big things and little things, we miss the majesty of God. We miss it. But in big things and little things, we can still see his majesty. The writer of the Hebrews, he quotes this psalm. He quotes Psalm 8. But he quotes the psalm from a slightly different vantage point. He's looking at the psalm through the lens of Jesus, the Messiah. So he reads this psalm with Jesus in mind as he's speaking. And he quotes Psalm 8 almost word for word. What is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you care for him? You made him for a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor, talking about Jesus. The writer wants us to know that Jesus is big, that Jesus is of divine origin, that Jesus is the very Son of God, present at creation and sustaining and holding all things together. That Jesus is God of God, light of light, very God of very God. He's begotten, he's not made. He's big, he's powerful, he's supreme. And yet he became little. According to the writer of Hebrews, it is in becoming little that we see how great Jesus really is. He became a little lower than the heavenly beings when he humbled himself and he took on our flesh and he carried our sin. He was big and he said, I'm going to become little for you and for me. The writer of Hebrews says, since the children, that's us, share in flesh and blood, he himself, Jesus, likewise partook of the same things. He had to be made like his brothers and sisters in every respect. And here the bigness of God, the bigness of divinity is found in this one little man, in one body. That isn't it incredible and even ironic that the God who created this universe, this God who is so big, the Lord of Lords, we see fit to be found in one little man, in one little time in history, in one little place. That our big God would choose to become little in this way. And beyond that, that he would choose humiliation. That he would choose to be high and to be taken low. That he would choose that even though he is great, he would be made insignificant. That even though he was big, he would become small. So that, as the writer of Hebrews says, by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. The fact that Jesus became little is what makes him so great. In big things and in little things, we see the majesty of God. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. The Lord of heaven and earth is our Lord. The supreme, all-powerful Son of God, he's our brother. His mercy spans big things. His mercy even spans little things. So what should we do in response to this big God that we have? What should people like you and me do as we stand before our majestic God? Well, first, we can bow down in submission. You're God and I'm not. You're the center of the universe and I'm not. You can sing really loudly, even if you have a crummy voice like me. It can give a joyful noise and give praise to your Lord. You can give deep felt, heartfelt, awe-filled praise. And you can pray. You can pray Psalm 8 with unhinged faith in the God who is so big, yet becomes little, and sees fit to come to you today, to forgive you, to save you, to encourage you, to walk with you. You have a big God who became little for you. We're going to pray right now. I want you to open that Bible up. We're going to pray Psalm 8 together as we close. And as we pray, let those words wash over us. How majestic is our God in big and little things. our big God has become little for us. Let's pray. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. From the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise because of your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You made him ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet, all flocks and herds and the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, all that swims the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Amen.